This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and a good The Wednesday, the show as you've come to fall in love with at this hour, 5 to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN, is in fact DCR. Today is June the 16th, 2021, as we get you started. And if I'm in a mood, guys, it's maybe because I've been cleaning up dog vomit for the last 20 minutes before the show. But, now, why does that get a fist pump from you? What kind of a savage animal are you that I tell you that I've been through the depths of what hell has to offer and that makes you happy?
Because I haven't slept. And here's another thing. Part of the reason why the Islanders lose last night is because you don't want to participate. We didn't have a viewing party. That's what happened last night.
You know, I should have had you over. You could clean up vomit and diarrhea. It's my own fault.
I told you, sleepover. I would have been right there with you.
You would have heard her hurling in the middle of the night.
No, in the middle, she woke you up and while she was puking?
No. That's not what happened. I went down to take them out before I get yelled at by my wife that they didn't, you know, properly go outside. I went downstairs to take them out, and there was just vomit sitting there in her cage for me. Like clumps of vomit, yeah.
Dave, is that normal? Feel like your dogs are vomiting every other day.
Because they eat anything. They're human garbage cans, Chris.
Except they're not human.
I mean, we have a fake plant out in front of the house. You walk by it yesterday. She goes after it. And I'm like, what are you eating? She's eating a piece of fake plant. She will eat anything. Anything. Like Jeffrey Dahmer looks at her as like, listen, miss. I don't know. I don't know what in the world you're doing. Yeah, anything. With this dog.
These dogs are out of control, man. They are running your life, Dave.
Running? Add an I in there. Ruining my life right now. Yes.
Is there any end in sight? I mean, are they at least getting better?
They are getting better. Although okay. We had this moment last night. We'll get to the Nets and Kevin Durant. And I will say this. That was an all-time performance in any sport ever. That was one of the great performances. We'll get there in a second. So last night, Sherry says, we're having dinner. The dogs are calming their cages. She says, why don't we let them out? Let's let them out just to, you know what, be a part of things. I think, she says, I think they can handle it. And Ben and I look at each other like, I don't know that this is a great idea. We let them out. They're fine. They're playing. All of a sudden, he goes over on the mat in the kitchen, pees all over it. All over it. And Ben and I are like, see, Sherry, this is all on you. All on you. Urine all over the floor. That's late last night. Early this morning vomit. In between, though, guys, one of the great performances, Chris, that we have ever seen. 48 minutes. He scores 49 points. He has, what, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks in a game they absolutely had to win with no Kyrie and a clearly hobbled James Harden to get that performance. You can't speak highly enough about what Kevin Durant did.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Well, Dave, he answered the bell. I mean, yesterday going into that game, the entire conversation was Kevin Durant's going to have to have an all-time night in order for Brooklyn to be able to advance. No Kyrie Irving, James Harden compromised. Now, we got the news later on in the day that he was going to try to give it a go, but clearly you saw early in that game that he was not going to be himself. Like, Kevin Durant had to put a lot on him. And, Dave, I was impressed by what he did, not only on the offensive side of the court, but what he did on the defensive side of the court. I mean, he gave guys from the Bucks all kinds of trouble. I mean, Chris Middleton, Giannis, you name it. Like, when Kevin Durant was on the coverage, I mean, he gave those guys a tough time. So, I mean, I don't think we can say enough positive things about what KD did last night, but I think he showed you that he is the best player that's left in the playoff field, and he's rivaling LeBron right now for the greatest player in the world.
Dave, I'll tell you this. I mean, we talked about it yesterday when we picked the Nets to win this game, and that was what I mean, we didn't even know that Harden would right. would try and play
it's
in this
game. It's amazing he goes from out. He was announced out to doubtful to questionable to playing all in like a, I don't know, 15-hour span.
Well, that's performance staff telling him, no, I mean, you're not good to go. Like, there's still some steps we need to see you take before you play. This isn't a must-win game, although it felt like a must-win game. Let's, you know, give you a couple extra days and see what you feel like in game six. And I think as James Harden shows up, feels decent, like, I think I can push through this. And he's like, no, like, this is, I need to be there for my guys. And not only did he played 46 minutes.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean,
which is an indictment hobbled. On Coach Budenholzer, too, though, Rico, to allow James Harden to play 46 minutes. Like, yeah, I don't understand how that's even possible.
Attack him, though. I don't understand. The defensive side of the ball, attack him. Like, I didn't get that the whole game. Like, there were some decisions that they made. Just, it drove me crazy. But here's the thing, though. I thought Kevin Durant would go, you know, 35, 40 points. Never in my wildest dreams did I think, you know, it should have been 50. He missed that free throw. I'm going to give it to him. A 50-point triple-double. First, in NBA, like, we've seen some really good performances. Like, you know, a couple of those LeBron James performances, you go back to, you know, game six against Boston. I mean, that was a huge performance by him. I mean, he had
a 50-point triple-double in game one of the NBA Finals against the Warriors, didn't he?
Yep.
That game that they lost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where J.R. Smith held the ball at the end in the side game.
Yeah. Remember that game five against the Pistons in 2007 was awesome?
Like where he scored like the last 29 points of the game or something into overtime.
Yeah, but Dave, I mean, this is, I mean, the first time we've ever seen 45-plus with 15 and 10. Like, this is the first time we've ever seen it.
I mean,
he played every single minute of the game.
When you just think about the greatest games in NBA history, I mean, Clyde had the game seven, right? Magic Johnson had that game six where he had to play center in 1980. I think it was 1980. You mentioned a couple of the LeBrons, and certainly Jordan's had some. I will stand by it. For magnitude of the game and performance during the game, I don't know that I've ever seen better. And I know people say, well, that's just because you're the prisoner of the moment. Guys, I don't think so. I don't know, Chris, that I've ever seen a better performance in a bigger game in any sport than I saw from Kevin Durant last night. He willed his team to victory. He played every single minute of the game. And there's been a lot of criticism with him. He goes and joins this super team. And I've been part of that as well. But, I mean, for his legacy last night, what a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, David, the Brooklyn Nets are able to somehow finish the drill and win the chip. People will go back to this performance and KD willing his team to victory because game five is a pivotal game. I mean, if you're the Brooklyn Nets and you lose this game, there's a chance that the series doesn't come back to Brooklyn. So, I mean, that felt like a must-win situation, like Rico alluded to a little bit earlier. And for Kevin Durant to go off the way that he did, especially in the fourth quarter, being able to close that game out, Dave, he scored 20 points on 6 of 9 shooting. It was unbelievable how efficient he was, and you saw he had that killer instinct, that closeout mentality late in that game, and the Bucks had no answers for it. Like, they had no answers for it. For the life of me, I don't understand why Coach Bud didn't decide to double-team Kevin Durant down the stretch rather than single coverage, because it was clear no matter who they put on him, nobody was going to be able to stop him from getting the shot that he wanted. That's how good KD was last night. But, I mean, the Bucks left the door open, and Kevin Durant walked right through it. And, again, Dave, I don't know how many more adjectives we can come up with to describe how epic that performance was last night from KD.
That's a forever game is what that is.
Yes.
Like, I didn't think that, I mean, win or losing that game last night, I figured he'd play good. I didn't think that was going to be something that would define his...
That was a legendary performance, right?
Yeah, but I didn't think it would define his legacy. I thought, I mean, if he played well and they won, it would only enhance his legacy, right? But to do what he just did, like, when you look back, like, well, he'll be a Hall of Famer. He'll be one of the greatest of all time. When you go back and look through his career, like, this will be one of the games that you'll talk about.
I think this might be the game. Don't you find it, when they don't have Kyrie, and Harden is, I mean, clearly compromised, and hats off to him for playing 46 minutes... And you play every minute of the game, and like you say, give him that extra free throw, give him a 50, 17, 10 assist triple-double. You think he's going to have a bigger game in a bigger moment than he had last night? I find that very difficult to believe.
I wouldn't put it past him at this point. No, I mean, I find it hard to believe just how good he was under the circumstances and everything else. I mean, this is as good as it gets. I mean, Dave, he scored 49 points on 23 shots.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. I didn't know that Kevin Durant had one of these games left in him on the other side of that Achilles injury.
Kevin Durant.
For him to do that, being on the other side of 30 with a career-threatening injury, to be able to bounce back the way that he did and to carry his team last night, like, that's just Dave, I don't know how to describe it other than to say this is one of those that we'll remember for a really long time. And if they finish this thing off, like I said, if they win a championship, this will be the game that everybody goes back to. This will be the thing that kind of propels them to go on a title run. Because, I mean, we talked about it coming into the playoffs. Like, if these guys stay healthy, like, there's nobody that's going to challenge them. But the adversity that the Brooklyn Nets faced was injuries. And to be able to overcome all of that, to be able to overcome some bad performances from guys like Joe Harris, to go through all of that, to have the kind of first half that they did, to start off the third quarter shaky and to be down by 17 points and to claw yourself back into that game and to win it for your team. Like, I just, that was.
That's an all-timer.
It's an all-time performance, Dave.
Yeah, it really is. Let's hear from the man of the day, really, Kevin Durant, on his approach in Game 5.
I didn't even think about nothing but just each possession. You know, I was just trying to win each possession, and I didn't think about how many points I had or shot attempts, like, you know, or rebounds, assists. It was more so like, just let me do what I need to do each possession. And that's the approach I always take, and I was able to rack up some points. I did play every minute, so, you know, that helped with my point total. But for the most part, I just try to stay engaged on the defensive side of the ball all game.
Forget the 48 minutes. Well, no, but forget the 48 minutes. Yeah, that helps with your point total. I mean, shooting 70% from the field also helps with your point total.
Hello. Hello.
I can't come up with the adjectives to describe how great he was, like you said, Chris, last night.
No, he was awesome, Dave. He really was. And, I mean, listen, I will also contend that as great, as epic as a performance that KD had, the meltdown that the Bucks had was just as spectacular. Like, I don't understand what they were doing last night in terms of some of the shot selection that we saw in the second half. You know, again, the defensive coverage schemes, not being able to throw two guys at Kevin Durant and forcing somebody else to beat you down the stretch. Like, some of the decisions that Coach Bud made no sense. Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you got James Harden on you, rather than attack him, you choose to settle for a fadeaway jumper on the baseline. That makes no sense to me. So, I mean, we've got to praise Kevin Durant. We got to give him his flowers because of what he did last night, a historic performance. But, I mean, that only happens because the Milwaukee Bucks had an all-time choke job as well. Like, there's no way around it. And, guys, I got to tell you, I actually want to blame Charles Barkley today. Because at halftime, Charles Barkley said the Milwaukee Bucks were going to win the championship, and we know how Charles Barkley guarantees typically work out. I mean, it just felt like that was one of those games that the Bucks had every opportunity to take control of, and they didn't do it. And because they didn't do it, it gave Kevin Durant the opportunity to do what he did last night.
Even late, though, I mean, Giannis had that play under the bucket. I mean, Middleton makes a pretty good pass.
It's a great pass. Great pocket
pass. I mean,
if
he actually catches that, he probably ties the game up at 109. I mean, that three that Durant hit with 50 seconds left on that broken play.
That was a dagger. How about that? Harden, you take the ball for 22 seconds. Get rid of it like it's a grenade at the end, and then KD, do what you can do. Go ahead.
That's what happens KD had 20 points in that fourth quarter, and as awesome as he was, and Dave, Chris, you guys are right, like, there's not enough adjectives to describe how great he was. Like, if Jeff Green doesn't do what he did,
he was great.
Especially early in that game. KD and Jeff Green scored the first 23 points for the Nets.
Rick, nobody else scored a bucket for the Nets until the 9-minute mark in the second quarter. In the second quarter, which is why it still doesn't make any sense to me why Coach Bud didn't force somebody else to beat them. It still doesn't make any sense.
If I would have told you, Rick, that Joe Harris went 2-for-11 with 5 points and 1-of-7 from three-point range in 37 minutes, what odds, what percentage do you think the Nets would have had to win this game?
I think it would have been a small percentage.
Right.
I mean, we knew going in, like, there was a couple guys that would need to step up. Like, if Durant, you know, did what we expected him to do, obviously not this. Like, this is just, I mean, this is historic what he did. But, like, I mean, Joe Harris had to be better. Like, Jeff Green, I mean, it was going to be a lot for him, but he had to be better than he was in Game 4. And he was, I mean, he's
phenomenal.
He was the MVP. Like, yeah. Durant, you expect that from. But, I mean, what Jeff Green, yeah, scoring the 27 off the bench, most in net history. I mean, Blake Griffin was good. I mean, he chipped in 17 points. Landry Shamet, we talked about yesterday, he hit a couple, you know, a couple big buckets. But, I mean, dude, this game was all about Kevin Durant. Every single minute of the game to do what he did. And, I mean, this was the way that James Harden looked. I know he played 46 minutes. That's not the same James Harden.
Oh, no.
It's not. And I don't know how that gets the thing for them trying to, you know, make their way through this series and then, you know, through another series and then the NBA Finals. Like, hamstrings, if it's I don't know how it gets better. It feels like that's only going to get worse as we go further along in this postseason.
It might.
Like, I don't know how he gets back to James Harden is what I'm saying. Like he's
I wonder
he's
if you even
play
him in game six. Or you just say, you know, you take off game six and get as healthy as you possibly can for game seven at home.
I think it all depends on how he reacts to it, right? What happens after, you know, how he wakes up and feels today, what happens moving forward, what their treatment plan is. I mean, listen, the guy played 46 minutes. So, I mean, clearly Steve Nash had the confidence in the player to make sure that he protects himself out there on the court. But to you guys' point, I don't know that we'll see the same version of James Harden the rest of the way, the guy that we saw in the regular season. But you might not have to. You might not have to because he's out on the court. It creates room for Kevin Durant. And I think that's the biggest thing. That's why he decided that he was going to thug it out yesterday, because he recognizes the difference between him being on the court versus having Mike James out there on the court. And for as great as Mike James has been in spots, I mean, James Harden is going to command more attention from the defense, and you saw that last night.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to respect him. I mean, Jrue Holiday was still in his pocket, you know what I mean? And this was a James Harden that clearly, I mean, was not going to – I mean, he wasn't going to go, you know, up at the three-point line, rocking the baby through his legs and then try to beat you to the buck. You know what I mean? Like, this was – 8 of his 10 shots were from three. Like, that's – he was not – like, that, he did not trust that hamstring yet. But still, just having him out there, he still had the 8 assists.
Yeah, there were still like 3 or 4 possessions that you point to and you say, damn, that was a damn good pass by James Harden.
You saw moments of, oh, there's James Harden. And then a lot of moments of, oh. And it was difficult to watch for moments. Like when he was like 40 feet away from the basket and he just went up and down.
He was trying to draw the foul and then he didn't. And
he called timeout.
You notice he had different sneakers on too last night? I noticed that.
That what? Good.
He didn't have his signature shoes on last night. I don't know if that was because of the hamstring or not.
I don't know.
But he has a Harden signature sneaker that he wears, and he wasn't wearing it last night. He was wearing a different one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
There's going to be two fighters now at the center of the ring just wailing on each other the rest of the way.
One of the great performances that we have ever seen.
Three ball, Durant, good from up top.
Historic performance. He played the entire game. He barely missed.
I was just trying to win each possession.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game.
48 minutes. He scores 49 points.
Durant again! This time off the right angle. A deep three.
Let me do what I need to do each possession. That's the approach I always take.
That's what you're expecting from an all-time performer.
And the Brooklyn Nets come back from down 17 to win by 6 and take a 3-2 lead in this best-of-7 series.
This is DCR.
I'm Kevin Durant. Y'all know who I am.
On 98.7 ESPN.
That was something. That was some performance. DCR is the show, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So we'll get to the Mets and the Yankees and the Islanders in a little bit. Stump Rothenberg coming your way at 6:45. A lot of calls on the Nets. A lot of calls on that performance. A lot of calls on that collapse from Milwaukee. I mean, if you're a Bucks fan, you got to be sitting there in your home last night thinking, we're up 17, no Kyrie, a clearly compromised James Harden. Joe Harris looks awful. The only thing that can take us down is Kevin Durant. Now, listen, Jeff Green was great as well, but if Durant doesn't do that, that's a non-competitive game, and Durant lifts the level of his game to heights that maybe we've never seen from him in the biggest moment last night.
Yeah, Dave, here's what I don't understand. Like, if you're the Bucks after the first quarter and seeing what James Harden was, or more importantly, what he wasn't, why in the hell would you let Kevin Durant beat you by himself? Like, why would you do, like, what? I just don't understand why they didn't force somebody else to beat him, why they wouldn't force somebody else to get the ball. Like, I mean, you throw double teams at Kevin Durant, you trap Kevin Durant, you force him to give the ball up and see if one of those other guys can beat you. The fact that they didn't do that last night, that's probably going to be what cost Coach Bud his job. If you're a Bucks fan right now, you're looking around the NBA and seeing who you want as your next head coach. Because if Milwaukee can't find a way to rally, and I strongly doubt that they will, the Bucks are going to move on from Budenholzer. There's no way he can survive this.
Well, I mean, because they can't. I mean, they're not going to move on from Giannis. Like, I mean, they've
just locked him into a contract. Yeah, that's done.
I mean, I think that's part of the problem too. Is like, I mean, especially late in games. Like we saw. Like, I mean, late in games. I mean, it. the person that's probably more likely to close out a game for you, especially because you feel better about him hitting his free throws too, is Chris Middleton. Like, we've already seen that in the series, right? Like, Giannis, I mean, the free throw shooting is not great. I mean, it's he can't shoot. Like, there are a lot of things wrong with Giannis offensively.
Yes.
And it feels like the coach, and more importantly, his teammates, defer to Giannis. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, we know what we should do, but, you know, Giannis is the guy, so we're going to kind of defer to him and let him do what he does. And that's not necessarily in their best interest. And I asked you, I mean, I asked you guys this before the show. I mean, how many guys, like how many big men that can't shoot that play the way Giannis plays have won championships without another, and not a Chris Middleton or a Drew Holiday? Like,
yeah,
another,
Chris Middleton. Can we stop with the Chris Middleton talk too? Like, oh, he's an all-star. Yeah, he's a fringe all-star, but Chris Middleton leaves a lot to be desired.
He's not a number two.
Especially in these types of moments. Like, if Chris Middleton is your third option, okay, great. But when he's your number two, like, you saw it, man. I just, the shot selection from Chris Middleton in the second half was absolutely ridiculous, man. I just got tired of it because it left the door open for the Nets to have this comeback. And like Rick always says, he wants to be right. Damn it, I wanted to be right yesterday with my prediction that the Bucks would win. And after two quarters, I was just like, yeah, you know what? I feel pretty good about it. Up 17 in the third, I feel pretty good about it. And then all of a sudden, there's a lid on the basket. Those guys aren't aggressive in terms of trying to get easy buckets in the paint. And then Kevin Durant decides to go off, and they stay with single coverage on Kevin Durant. It's absolutely crazy. The guy had 31 points in the second half. How do you let that happen?
20 in the fourth quarter. I mean, not only just the third quarter. I mean, you had a 17-point lead with 19 minutes left in the game.
Yep. That's crazy.
Pathetic.
And you end up, I mean, you end up getting outscored 57-34. I mean, it's like, I mean, this is one of those ones. Like, I mean, you mentioned the
Bucks.
Yeah, you
never, fans. I don't think you ever recover from that.
Like, Bucks players, man. I mean, just emotionally, the toll that game takes on you.
Rico, you usually got to pay to see a choke job like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Look at the roles are reversed here. All sorts of confusing on a Wednesday.
You know what I should have known? You know, Dave, you know what I should have known that KD was going to come through like this? Anyone that has the confidence to go on a date with somebody and bring their side piece with them, just in case the date doesn't work out.
That's
right?
Impressive.
How about that, huh?
That's impressive.
Who are
That's
you?
Supreme confidence.
Why do I got to talk to you?
You know what else, Rico? Anytime 90% of the money comes in on a team in Vegas, you probably should bet the other way.
That's honestly 90% why. 90% of the money on the Bucks last night?
Yes, over 90%
of the
money. And
those people,
Vegas,
they were probably spending it, right? They were probably like, well, what am I going to buy with this money?
Yeah.
That's honestly why I picked the Nets yesterday, was because it always ends up like that way. Everyone jumps on the bandwagon. Okay, the Bucks are going to definitely win this game.
You did well with your pick. I mean, you didn't hit the spread on the nose like some of us did, but you did well. I mean, you picked
Look
the right
you,
game.
Look at you, Dave. Look at you.
That's right.
Doing a little peacocking.
Of course he does, because this is what he does. Like, God forbid we pat ourselves on the back. And it's Wednesday, too. Yeah, see, we should have seen it coming. It's Stump Rothenberg Day.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is when he's at his finest.
It's all about Dave Rothenberg.
If he was flexible, we know exactly what he'd be doing right now.
I actually didn't get it right. RJ's telling me, now this could be wrong because it's RJ and we don't know when he's right or not, but Chris picked Milwaukee 110-98. I picked the Nets 96-91. Rick picks the Nets 101-98. So I thought I picked him 97-91 is 96-91. So I was off by the one point.
Yeah, but I had the more points. So we lean towards me winning, I think.
No, I think you and I tie.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah. If I had hit the 6-point spread, I think I would have won, but I think we tie.
I have so much knowledge.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
It's amazing to me, though, how maniacal I become when something like that is involved. Like,
I don't
making
understand
a pick.
Why.
Dude, it bothered me for the whole day. Like, all I could think about after the show was that the right... Was that the right number? Should I have?
I mean, you don't think that there's something odd about the fact that you, like, with 30 seconds to go in the show, we go around and make our picks for that game, and that eats you up all day long?
I want to be right so bad. I don't know why it's so important to me, but I want to be right so bad. And then
I
stressed out the whole day, and then I'm flipping through channels and I'm watching a bunch of things, and I flip on to Coward, and he's like, it's an opinion business. Doesn't matter. I'm wrong all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody
so
cares.
This is a guy with a national platform who's wrong all the time, and it bothers him not at all. You make a prediction. Nobody cares except for you, and then you come back, and the rest of the day, it haunts you and completely changes the complexion of your day.
No, not even. Like my wife gets sick of it because I'm like asking her questions. Like, you think that was the right pick? She's like, how would I know if that's the right pick?
It's a pick. Nobody knows. That's why you're making a guess at what's going to happen.
Because in that moment, I'm so stressed out when he comes on. He's like, yeah, it's an opinion business. We make predictions. I'm wrong all the time. No big deal. Nobody cares.
Me. I don't care. Still getting paid. What's the difference? Beautiful family. I don't care. And you're like, oh,
guys,
God.
Guys making
the Nets are going to lose. I'm going to look like such a fool. Nobody would even have remembered.
Guy's making like $7 million a year.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't even know. I don't even know who the players are on the box. It doesn't make a difference.
I'm sitting here getting the trust the speakers after every show.
Oh, yeah, TTS baby. God. Calvin in Jersey. Good morning, Cal. Wait, trust the speakers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Hello? Cal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, great win for the Nets. Great win for KD. I knew he had it in him. All the whole time. That's why I was so pissed when he left OKC to go to Golden State. He could have probably went anywhere else and did the same thing. You don't get beat up by a bully your whole life and then join a team. That's the only reason people gave him grief about going to OKC. Golden State. But big win for the Nets. But he's still not a Nick. That's it.
Yes, correct. He's not a Nick.
No, Knicks fans won't get over this. We won't. I mean, especially if they go on to win a championship. I mean, he's playing at this level. They'll never.
Not at all.
No, we try to explain it.
Remember, the Knicks didn't want him because health-wise, he was never.
We don't know if he's worth a super max contract.
Why would we pay him to sit out a year? We're not going to give him max money, whatever it was.
No, thank you.
Yeah, how ridiculous does that take look right now?
Let's not risk it. It looked ridiculous at the time, Chris. Yeah. It looks more ridiculous now, and we said it
at the time, Dave. But hey, if you're a Knicks fan, you celebrate the fact that Julius Randle was second team All NBA. Celebrate that. You celebrate an unanticipated season, and you watch the Brooklyn Nets, if they're able to get past this series, probably have a good chance at winning the O'Brien Trophy.
Do you think so? Do you think if they're not healthy, if Kyrie doesn't come back and Harden is hobbled, that they can win a championship with Kevin Durant solely as the one of the three playing?
I don't think it'll be solely, though, Dave. I mean, if they're able to get past this series, they're buying themselves more time for James Harden to get healthy and to see about Kyrie Irving potentially coming back. Like, I mean, listen, the ankle thing looked bad from Kyrie, but, I mean, we don't know what's happening. I wouldn't have said that James Harden had a chance of being able to play in Game 5 and the guy played 46 minutes. So I mean, I don't know that that those guys are going to be, you know, are going to not be available moving forward. I guess that's my whole point. Like, if you have more time, then you got a better chance of those guys being able to be some semblance of themselves. And I think even with them not being 100%, having those three guys might be enough to be able to win it.
Because I mean, there's just no team right now that you would point to.
Yes.
There's no clear-cut favor right now.
No, I agree with that. It's not like they have this monster opponent, but if they're not healthy, could Philly get them? I think they could. If they're not healthy, could Phoenix get them? I think they could. I don't know that they do.
It's going to come down to which team you match up. I mean, which is the toughest matchup it ends up being? Because it's not like, I mean, you're not going up against, you know, LeBron and the Lakers.
No, there's no great team.
No.
But it's going to be like what, like, because you're right. I mean, the Sixers, if, like, Embiid looked like he wore down. I mean, the second half was awful.
Yes.
And maybe he's wearing down the meniscus is borrowed and whatever. Like, he's not fully healthy, but I mean, the way they can defend, I mean, Brooklyn's not going to have an answer for Joel Embiid. So, I mean, that could be a tough matchup if the Brooklyn Nets aren't healthy, but I don't know. There's not really one team you would point to and say, you know, I guarantee this team is going to be.
But on that same avenue, would you be shocked if Philly got them if they're not healthy?
No, I guess I wouldn't be shocked about it, Dave. But, I mean, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, the thing that you're hoping for is for that Hawks series to be a seven-game series, and you want your guys to go up to Milwaukee and close it out in six. I mean, I don't know that Milwaukee's going to be interested in coming back to Brooklyn for a Game 7, so this might be one of those situations where they lay down. But, I mean, if you're Brooklyn, you're just trying to give yourself as much time as you possibly can for those guys to rehab and to see if they can kind of get back into it and be contributors. Because last night, I mean, the best contribution that James Harden had, the value that he had, was just being out there on the court and being somebody that the Milwaukee Bucks had to pay attention to, and that created just enough room for Kevin Durant to do his thing. I believe that if James Harden wasn't out there, you're probably talking about a different outcome in last night's game.
Right. And if he didn't have a setback, you'd have to think that if he plays in Game 6 or not, that he would be equally as good or if not better, right, James Harden moving forward? You wouldn't think he's going to get worse if he's able to play.
No, I wouldn't think that he's going to get worse. I just think that this is one of those things, because it's a hamstring, it's so tricky, Dave. You don't want him to wear down and have a risk re-injury. But, I mean, it's all going to depend on how he feels about his body. Like, if he tells you he feels good, if it responds positively to playing all those minutes last night, then, I mean, I think that the Brooklyn Nets are probably going to be trending in the right direction.
It's hard to imagine, though, Dave, it's going to get any better. Like, I think he'll get better. Like, he's going
to
make – I mean, he'll make
like
more
he'll
than one
to
shot.
The way it is.
Yeah. I mean, you saw him last night. I mean, he took 10 shots. 8 of them were threes. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't trust his hamstring yet, or he was just, you know, protecting himself, which you naturally do. But I don't know how – I mean, during the course of – especially with the hamstring, like how during the course of games that are this physical, you know, playing as many minutes as he plays, that hamstring's going to get – you know, all of a sudden he'll wake up one day and he's like, oh, this thing feels great.
No, but do you think he can get better as this series and postseason moves along?
I think he can shoot better. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of the, you know, the James Harden you're used to seeing as far as like him, you know, breaking someone down and attacking the basket is going to be what he is.
So you expect that if he's able to go, this is within reason kind of the version of James Harden that we see?
Well, you're playing every other night. Like, I don't know how he feels this morning. I'm going to imagine
he'd be
pretty sore.
I wonder if you play him in game six.
I mean, that's – I don't know. I mean, does he – it's how he feels today. I mean, it's going to come down to how he feels today.
Yeah.
How his body responds. It's always like in the moment, because of the adrenaline and everything else, you feel all right. It's the next day you wake up when you have an idea where you're at.
And I wonder how much them deciding to stay with him as long as they did was because they didn't want his hamstring to get cold and tighten up.
I'm sure it had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, like just like if you keep him out there on the court, if he stays moving around, then maybe it's a safer play than to ask him to sit down a few minutes and then try to warm that thing back up. Maybe that's what they decided to do. But, I mean, I just don't understand from a coaching standpoint, if you're Milwaukee, why you allowed him to be out there knowing that he was compromised. Like, they should
attack him at least defensively.
They should have attacked James Harden a whole lot more on the offensive end. The fact that they didn't was a miss by Coach Bud.
And be real physical with him, I thought, was a misstep as well.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Chris, down 5-2 after that Dante Bichette two-run single. By the way,
Dante, huh?
Bo, sorry. That's not a terrible mistake. Come on. That's not a horrible mistake.
I mean, that's not terrible. I mean, it's his dad.
Okay. But it's not like I said Steve Bichette. I mean, I wasn't completely off base.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
All right, that's fine. You can call it out. Anyhow.
I like to be accurate.
How about the camera work on that play? Were you guys, like, locked in on that game?
I was going back and forth. With
the whole visual,
game.
Though, of that game.
Yeah.
Like, what? It just doesn't. I mean, on TV, it doesn't seem like you're watching a Major League Baseball game.
No, it seems like a spring training game.
Yes, 100% does. But on that play specifically, I don't know if you guys noticed, they kept the camera on Montgomery, and they never showed the baseball. And then you see with his reaction of you know, being upset that obviously it was a base hit and two runs scored. But Chris, down 5-2. How upset were you with the Yankees? Because I'm sure you had the feeling of we're going to lose this game again.
Well, yeah, Dave, just because you don't know whether or not the offense is going to be able to come through. And you had the solo home runs early by Sanchez and Chris Gittens, but you didn't know if the Yankees offense was going to be able to have that moment. And last night, you got to give credit where credit is due. We've been criticizing the bottom of the order for the Yankees, and last night it was all about them. I mean, you were able to string together some hits in the six. You had the base hit by Urshela to get things started, and then you had the Sanchez double, and then Andujar on a little grounder scores a run, and then you have Brett Gardner be able to come through for you with a home run in the seventh inning. And then in that eighth inning, Aaron Boone pushed the right buttons. I mean, he had Tyler Wade pinch run for Andujar, and he pinch hit for Gardner with Clint Frazier, and both of those moves seemed to work out because it ended up getting you a run in that spot. And giving you an opportunity to take control of that game. So, I mean, I just feel like with everything that happened last night, I was worried about it, Dave. But then after that sixth inning, you thought, okay, if we can just get within striking distance and come up with a few hits, we're going to be able to come through. The other unsung hero last night's game, the bullpen, because you were able to get 11 outs from those guys. They didn't give up a run. That was huge, too.
Yeah, I was a little dicey, though, with Britton there. I mean, it got dicey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, terrible. It was bases loaded, right? Bases loaded.
And it was 3-1.
Yeah, with Bichette.
On Bichette.
Dante's Inferno. All 57 years old of him. Must be
after that Dante Bichette two-run single.
I can't even.
Seriously, I can't even. There's stuff that you guys will say on a Monday. And on Wednesday, I'm like, hey, did we repurpose that? Do we have it? Oh, no, we didn't get around to cutting the audio yet. I said it 90 seconds ago, and it's already ready to play?
After that Dante Bichette two-run single. Dante, huh?
Yeah, by the way, too. No, here's the thing, though. This is because we're nice to the guys behind
us. Oh, yeah, great. You guys are the best. Salt of the earth.
On a regular basis. Here's another thing, though. I mean, you don't want to tell Chris and I and everyone else on the show that your whole, you know, podcast situation where you're trying to take over the world, that not only is it available wherever you buy your podcast, you can see it. It's, I mean, there's obviously a beautiful set. You got hair, makeup, and everything else.
Right.
There's a live studio audience.
Now, here's the thing. You're going to believe RJ Santillo, or you're going to think that maybe I was messing with RJ Santillo and you just bought into it, hook, line, and sinker?
Well, I mean, this is a crossroads for me because I want to believe RJ.
Mm-hmm.
But after last week's performance, I'm having a hard time. So now I'm leaning towards maybe you were messing with him.
Of course I was messing with him. A lot. In a pandemic, you think we have a live studio audience?
Come on, RJ.
Come on, RJ.
So that's just an outright lie, though, because...
Because you brought it upon yourself. I'm talking to RJ, and he goes, is there a live studio audience? And he says it tongue-in-cheek. I said, oh, yeah. He goes, wait a minute. There's a live studio audience? How many people watch this thing?
Well, I'm not on the Zoom. How would I know? I'm just talking to you. I'm trusting you, and you misguided me. So unlike when I got a stat wrong, that was an outright lie, and you took advantage of a friend, so...
You should have heard him, too. He's like, who would pay for this? He charges people $20. Yeah. Like, who would pay for this thing?
He goes, you charge? I said, yeah, $20. I said, we have to defray
some of the
cost.
You're such a liar.
See, we were going to have a show outing, and you didn't even know about this. We were going to surprise you, but now it's not even possible. We would have went to your undisclosed location with no fake tickets.
A live studio audience? Well, no. I mean, come on, RJ. Now I know exactly who you are. Like, I tell you anything, and you just run back to Rick. And, Rick, can you believe this? 20 people watch the podcast, charges $20 a shot.
I was Googling tickets. Me and RJ, we were going to go. Was I going to boo you during the show? Yeah, I was going to boo you, but...
Great.
RJ, you know what? We should have realized that he was messing with you. Like, I listened to the teaser. Do we have it? Of Untucked? I mean, who's paying $20 to go watch this live? Seriously.
How dare you?
Do you recognize what we're really witnessing right now? Follow along if you can. I heard this as well. This is incredible. Jacob DeGrom has allowed 4 earned runs. So just, I'd like you to digest it, right? Take it like a good piece of steak. Jacob DeGrom, 9 starts, has allowed 4 earned runs. Oh, wow, that's pretty good, right? Guess how many RBIs he has? 3. Listen to some of the stats that I have in front of me. This is courtesy of Jeff Passan. DeGrom, 9 starts this season, 58 innings pitched, 25 hits allowed, 8 walks. So he's allowed 33 runners combined with hits and walks, right? 93 strikeouts in 58 innings. 3 home runs allowed.
I don't understand how this is funny. I'm giving brilliant statistical information. You're hysterical, and Chris is barely cracking a smile.
And welcome aboard.
That I think is funny. Me breaking down DeGrom's numbers, not funny.
Breaking down what? You just read Jeff Passan's Twitter account is what you did. Come watch a live reading of Jeff Passan's Twitter account. As for 25 minutes, I will read stats.
Here's what it is.
And welcome aboard.
You're jealous.
Hi, I'm Dave Elias Rothenberg, and I will read the stats.
That's great. I love watching this team. All right, you know what? I'm done. I don't think we're doing stuff, Rothenberg, today. In fact, I think I might be done on the day. Because you're a bully. You're a bad guy. You're a K-apologist, and anybody else that gets in your way, you'll run them over.
Why would you use that as the teaser? Like, if I don't know anything about the Dave Rothenberg Untucked, and I know of Dave Rothenberg, a fanatical fan,
mm-hmm.
and you're giving me... Listen to me read stats from Jeff Passan.
All right, first
with,
of all,
with
I don't think it's bad,
it.
Okay? That's for starters. First of all, I don't think it's bad. Second of all, do you understand how many people are watching this? We're talking about 15, 20,000 people per episode are ingesting this. And second of all, I don't do the teaser. I'm the talent. I go in there. All right? I go in there.
That's a drop.
I have a gown thrown on me. It's like a pit crew. I have women come out from the side, and my hair is done, my makeup, my beard. They check my everything going on. All right.
The temperature?
No, not temperature. Wow. Not yet. We haven't gone there. I am
the thermometer boy right now.
They get
now.
The studio audience in place, in proper place, and then we start and we run with the pod. Trust the speakers!
You got the fine print on your ticket when you buy for the studio audience. Please be advised that you should bring your old lubricant for your temperature check.
I'm the talent. Look at that. I mean, these guys have never turned around sound quicker than they have today.
I'm the talent.
So adamant about it.
I question the production company then, if that's what they're using for teasers. They got to have better than that.
Early risers will get work.
With the X-Files music behind you, I mean, there's better than that. Like, I want to see a meltdown. Like, give me the part of the podcast that's a meltdown.
Oh, there's meltdowns, baby.
Or, like, excitement.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair. That's what you want. You want your own podcast, don't you?
No.
You want
he
it?
He has podcast envy, Dave. That's what it is.
That's what
this comes down to. The fact that he doesn't have a production team behind him, the fact that he doesn't have a live studio audience when he's taping, no, that's what it is.
They said that they would offer Nana DiPietro and your mom their own podcast.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to the people that do the podcast. Like, I couldn't subject that to them. Subject them to that. I couldn't.
What?
It would be too much. It's too much for me to handle. Like, to mediate that myself is
too... But it would be entertaining.
Yeah, but it's... I don't think we're at that point. I mean, Nana's... I don't think she's up for it.
No?
Nah, back in her heyday, especially if we had Bobby around, who was her boyfriend, like her manservant, like that... Now you're talking. Because that's, I mean, verbal berating at its finest.
Well, because that would be very entertaining. Having a woman in her like late 80s, early 90s berating a boyfriend?
Yeah, an older boy. Well, yeah, but that's just mixed in. Like, that's another element to it. And then you bring in Cheryl / Mickey Rourke, and then she's mixing it up. I'm telling you, we missed our opportunity. The whole thing would have been, I mean, the height of reality television. You throw some cameras in there. She's throwing furniture down the stairs.
I offered it to you, and you said no. So here's the thing.
Just now you did, though.
No.
It's too late now.
No, Chris, did I not offer him a podcast weeks ago? Probably months ago.
I'm saying years, though.
That happened. That actually
a month
happened.
Ago.
Dave Rothenberg stepped in, and he said the production team is ready to do something with Rick DiPietro and family, might I add.
And you said, let me think about it, and then nothing from you.
Yeah.
So you don't get offered, you freak out. You get offered, you never accept. There's no happy medium. You're never happy unless your pick is actually right.
Which makes me happy today, but I'm just telling you that I ran it by Ginny and Mickey, and it was just, it's not the right time.
When would be the right time?
I was saying years in the past was the right time to do it.
Well, this is when we're offering it, and you, of course, say no.
Because I can't say yes. I'd like to say yes.
That's fine. Can we spend a minute on the Mets before we get into Stump Rothenberg?
I could have Nana read the phone book like you just did.
That'd be great. Smith, John, 717-597.
We used to call when we figured out conference call. We used to call my grandmother, and then Pete would have.
Everyone did that. You'd call two people at the same time, and you'd have them pick up at the same time, and then they would have the conversations.
I used to love that. It was.
Did you call me? No. Did you call me? No.
What? Yeah. They ended up having a great conversation.
And then you would hope that they would spill something. Like, can you believe Rick? What a vile, filthy animal he is.
Dude, did I ever tell you this? Did I ever tell you the story that we were at Pete's house and his grandma? So Pete had a two family. So Pete and his parents.
Two families?
No, they had a two family house.
Oh, okay.
So his grandmother, I mean, his mom's mom owned the house. So they lived. Peter and his family lived on the top floor, and his grandmother was on the first floor. And she was, I mean, she was hysterical. But at one point, we're playing basketball in his backyard, and it's like just kind of like getting dusk. So the porch light comes on. She comes rolling out.
Wait, is this good? You're going to tell us she came out naked, right?
No, pretty much. Yeah, she came out. What make this? There's two parts of the story that are funny. She comes out, and she stands directly under the light, and she has her nightie on. And you could see completely through the nightie. So obviously we know what's under the nightie, and she's holding in her hand. She goes, "You guys thirsty? You want some lemonade?" She thinks it's like just legitimate.
Alcohol. You've told us the story.
It was Mike's hard
times.
Lemonade.
Yep, we've heard it. Big Mar is very angry at you, by the way.
For what?
He says, "Where is he supposed to get his stats and information from? Does Rick do his own math and create his own stats?"
I'm not saying.
I'm sure he gets them from other sources. Sadly, all jokes aside, it seems like your friend is just a hater. Cut the grass and the snakes will show.
That's Big Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big Mars can suck it. Yo, time out, because Big Mars can suck it. He wasn't listening. I appreciate the stats. They're great stats. And you're going to get your stats. I'm going on Elias. I ain't doing my own stats. I'm going to get them from somewhere else. I don't spend the first 10 minutes of the show just reading stats.
That wasn't the first 10 minutes of the show. That was
it
probably
was the teaser clip.
The show.
You so just gave a teaser clip.
With the person creating the actual tease, not with me incorporating those stats into the show.
Well, so you got to have some say.
I'll get Rich on. You want me to get the producer on?
Yeah, get him on. You retweeted it. I would have been pissed if I saw that. That's not a representation of what you do.
I didn't even look at it. He said retweet this, and I retweeted it.
He should be fired today. Get him on the phone. I would fire him today.
I'm going to text him. I'm going to try to get Rich on. He can promote the podcast, and you can berate him as what you do with everyone. You're a big bully. Unless your name is Michael K., you are just a big, giant bully is what you are.
But there's no way that Michael K. is doing something like that. Michael K. is going to have, you know, some Joe Schmo just to put
not
a teaser out.
Not Joe Schmo.
That,
he's an Emmy-winning producer.
And for what?
Guy does Yankees Magazine on the Yes Network.
Oh, my God. Yankees Magazine. Like Lifetime movies he probably does. I mean, that's like...
Nets Magazine.
It's like the Melatonin podcast.
I got to be honest. I got to think the offer for Nana and your mom is probably off the table at this point.
That's fine.
I don't think that they're...
I wouldn't subject them to that.
Don't think so. Don't think they could handle it.
Watch Nana look through the TV guide. Come on, that's you're better than that. You know it.
All right, you know what? I'm ignoring you at this point, and I'm thinking that if Santiago gives you a star, then you guys are in cahoots here. Santi, let's get started.
Confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. And away we go. 800-919-3776. We start with how we always start. And that is Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
What's up, Andy? Your Islanders looking good last night, baby. Real good.
And I'm the bully. And I'm the bad guy.
I'm stating the obvious.
David, it's tough to win when they have seven skaters on the ice. Nonetheless, David, see if you can answer this one.
All right.
The Conn Smythe Trophy is awarded annually to the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Only one player has won the trophy three times. Name him.
You don't have any hockey stats lying around that you're going to read in your next Untucked podcast?
You know, can I think for a minute? I know Lemieux won it back-to-back.
And welcome aboard.
Did Gretzky win? How about Messier? No, Messier didn't win with the Rangers in 94. This might have to go. Do you know the answer to this?
Yes. Yes, of course I know the answer to this.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Is it Crosby? I don't think it's Sidney Crosby. After that Dante Bichette two-run single. Dante, huh?
Sakes, would you stop it?
Repulsive. Only one has won three times, huh?
That's correct.
Perrant won back-to-back, I know. I think he won 74-75. I'm going to say, is it Bobby Orr? God.
We need a final answer, Dave. Time integrity here.
I don't think I have the answer. I'm going to... Lemieux, I know, won twice. Gretzky won twice.
Somebody I would look up. Somebody I would look up to. Come on.
Is it goalie?
Yeah.
Patrick Waugh.
We'll give you half credit there because 39 took you through.
What do you mean half credit? I get credit, no?
No, that's full credit. That's good. I mean,
that's full
picked.
Credit right there.
Yeah. No, you could have picked them. I mean, there's plenty of goalies.
Yeah.
I could have gone with Marty Brodeur. I went with Patrick Waugh. All right, Rick, you're up. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. David, tell me the only person to be drafted into four different professional leagues.
Oh, this is a layup.
Dave Winfield.
Layup.
Too easy. That's too easy. I just thought that was interesting for people to know.
It's amazing.
He drafted MLB, ABA, NFL, NBA.
You know, he was a dominant pitcher at University of Minnesota. Dominant.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, the guy, he's a freakish
athlete.
He's
a big dude, too.
He's humongous.
Yeah. He's like 6'7". He's enormous.
Yeah,
he is. Enormous. All right, let's continue. Shep 2-0. This is quite the start. Shep in Hicksville. Good morning, Shep.
Good morning. A president question.
All right.
Who was the only president to appear on United States currency while he was still alive?
Only a living president to be on currency. Is it Coolidge?
Final.
Yes.
It is Coolidge.
Yes!
Nice, Dave.
That's a brilliant answer.
Nicely done.
Oh.
How did you come up with that one?
Well, I knew it wasn't Lincoln and it wasn't Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking like you know, a little deeper in the woods, and I went with Coolidge.
Whew. Very nice.
It's answers
done.
Like that really impressed me right there.
Yeah.
Let's go with Verrett in Rockland. This is college football related, I'm told, so maybe Canty can help me on this one. Go ahead, Verrett.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? So, three Heisman winners in the 80s were quarterbacks. Can you name them?
Well, in the 80s, Vinny Testaverde won the Heisman, right, Canty?
I believe he did, Dave. Yep.
Yeah. So, Doug Flutie won the Heisman. And I believe the tough one of the three would be a guy that did it at what used to be a football factory for quarterbacks. Andre Ware.
Wow. Too easy.
Nice, David.
Look at you, Dave.
This is scalding.
Look at you.
Scalding red hot.
A Kevin Durant-esque performance on Stump Rothenberg.
Should we stop it?
Good for you.
No, keep going, Dave.
Oh, God. All
let's
right.
revel in greatness.
Let's go to Will in Pearl River. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? Love the show. All right,
Thank
Dave.
You.
1938, first NFL draft. Who was the number one pick of that draft?
I believe it was a gentleman by the name of Corbett Davis.
That is incorrect.
Mm.
Jay Berwanger of the University
Berwanger.
Of Chicago.
Jay Berwanger, yes, who won the Heisman Trophy. All right. That's the 38 NFL draft?
No.
No,
Corbett
that's the
Davis
36.
Is 38.
Yeah, that's the 36 draft.
Yeah, because Berwanger, I think, won the Heisman Trophy in 35.
No, 38 was, you were right with 38 was Corbett Davis.
Well, I was right.
Yeah, you were right.
38 is Corbett Davis, yes.
Yeah.
From the Cleveland Rams, right?
Yes.
Ha!
Oh.
Even when he thought you were wrong, you were right, Dave. How about
that? That is correct.
Terrible job by him.
You can end it now, Dave. You can end it now. I mean, that's just...
Isn't that repulsive, though? How can you call with a... Like, that's an easy answer to look up and have the wrong answer.
That's 36. His question was for 36.
Yeah, because Berwanger won the Heisman Trophy and was it... I thought it was 35 he won the Heisman. Was it 36?
He was drafted. And I mean, he was drafted first overall in 1936.
Yeah.
All right. Are we done or do you want one more?
I didn't love that question. Let's go... I mean, I would go one more, but it's up to you.
All right. Let's go to Orlando in Newark. Good morning, Orlando.
Good morning. Two players have hit for the cycle for both and against the same team. Name them.
This is a ridiculously hard question.
Yeah. So for and against the same team.
Yes.
Boy, I don't know. Guys that have hit for the cycle.
This question is almost not even fair.
I'm going to say Adrian
Beltre.
Name
one of them, then. That's one of them.
Adrian Beltre is right?
Yes.
I'm going to say...
I mean, the fact that you got that is incredible.
I'm going to say... boy, I really don't know.
Is this Orlando? Let me ask you a question. Is the other one? Is it in the like really way in the past? Is it, you know?
Yes.
Present.
Yes. 1929
and 1940. Oh. Joe Cronin.
Exactly right.
Come on.
That is correct.
Oh God, I felt good. Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah, but
that's
I wouldn't
possible.
Have gotten that if you hadn't given me the 29 and 40.
Yeah, who cares though? That's still impressive, Dave.
I'll take it. Dear Do you God. Realize what we just witnessed?
If you hadn't given me the 1929, I'd go, really?
Right.
It's 1929. It's not 1999 or 89 or 79. It's 1929.
I give you the year. I know you'll get it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
One of the great performances that we have ever seen.
Kevin's got to come up and get the ball if he wants it.
He does. He comes all the way to Harden, steps to the three-point line, shoots for three, and drilled it.
I was just trying to win each possession.
Historic performance.
Durant again, this time off the right angle, a deep three.
One of the best scorers to ever play the game.
Special performance by him, credit to him.
And the Brooklyn Nets take a 3-2 lead in this best-of-seven series.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
We witnessed greatness last night. It is the 7 o'clock hour of DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Really, I mean, when you think, honestly, you know what would be great for Don today, Rick? Is for him to do the Daily Don with the top five performances in single games in New York sports history. And I think that it's fair to say that performance would be in the top five right now.
Depends on if he has time. I mean, he went out and played some frisbee golf yesterday with the... It's amazing.
Some frolf?
It was amazing. So he was supposed to do something with his wife and his kids the prior day, right? They were supposed to... I guess there was some guy that was playing the guitar or whatever, but it got rained out, so it got pushed to yesterday. Uh-huh. And then he has to do the Islanders pregame, right? Because he agreed to do that. So it was conflicting, so he couldn't go with his wife and his kids. But he had that hour between the K-show ending and him doing the pregame. So rather than like just relax for a minute before he has to do the pregame show, he went out and played frisbee golf with his neighbor.
Well, here's why I'm going to get divorced.
Yes. He's the best. He is, I mean, as special as you are, I think Don's got to be, I mean, he's right
there
with
you. He is equally special. So would you not agree that the Daily Don, Chris, today has to be top performances in New York sports history by individual players?
Absolutely, Dave. It absolutely has to be. And I know you're the biggest Giants fan that's out there, Dave. Don't you feel like you have to have Eli Manning on that list, too?
Yes, but here's the thing.
Mm.
Those drives were phenomenal, right?
Okay.
The drive at the end of both Patriots games. In the game, Eli was... It's not like his performance was otherworldly. Yeah, I think you could have Eli.
I don't know
there.
About that, Dave. I don't know. I mean, the playoff game in Green Bay in our 2011
Niners
run.
Game.
The Niners game. The Niners game the week after that. I mean, those were two pretty damn good performances.
All
by
right,
Eli
listen. That's fine. You're not going to have to sell me on it hard.
How about the Giants wide receivers in that Green Bay playoff game?
Phenomenal. I think Phil Sims' Super Bowl performance. Yeah. You're a bad guy.
What?
You guys have had
Don't
so
even
many
start.
Great moments, and you have to
no,
bring
no.
that up.
That, because that boat trip, you know what happened after that boat trip.
I hated that. When I watched Odell running around the field with no shirt on before the game, I was like, this is going to be bad. And he was awful in that game.
No, all the wide receivers were terrible in that game. I think Messier, you mentioned Messier earlier in the
show.
That has to be there.
Phil Sims in the Super Bowl, Walt Clyde Frazier. Maybe there's another one, and I think Kevin Durant is now on that Mount Rushmore.
So, Dave, you're talking about postseason performances that resulted in those teams winning a chip. If Kevin Durant and the Nets don't finish the drill, does that change his performance being on the list or where it's at on the list?
It's a great question.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, about his performance, though. This is it's the greatest performance statistically we've seen in NBA postseason history.
Mm-hmm.
We've never seen anyone go, 45-plus, 15-10. It's never happened before. Oh, yeah. Dave, you meant Walt Clyde's got to be up. Clyde's got to be on that list, too.
I put him there. I had Clyde. I have Clyde's Sims. I have Messier. If you guys want to put an Eli there.
I think you got to put Namath. I mean,
but come on.
Eli has to be there.
But Namath, he wasn't even that
good. But he guaranteed
it,
though. Yeah, but he guaranteed it.
So if you guarantee it and it happens, you go on the list?
I don't know. That's so much pressure on yourself in New York. You guarantee it. All the stuff you got going off the field.
But look at what
he
did in that game.
Legs were heavy after whatever he did the night before.
I think he had constant heavy legs.
I would love, I would like to sit down for, you asked me dinner guests. I would consider putting Namath on the list for dinner guests.
How about Jeter?
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, now I just look like a sick creep, though, if that's the only bit. I'm like, so who's at your table? Yeah, give me Wilt,
yeah.
Jeter.
you really are. You and Dr. Ruth would have the same guest at your dinner table.
You're looking for the right way to do the wrong thing. If
yeah,
you got
people
those
like,
guys
I'd like, yeah, give me Jesus. And I'm like, no, give me Wilt, yeah. Jeter. That's a bad. Yeah, I got a problem. I do.
Joe Namath was 17 of 28 for 206 yards. No touchdowns and no interceptions in that game.
No.
But he guaranteed it, though.
No,
he's probably not on the list, but I still, to have the cojones to guarantee a win like that, and your team goes out and win, that's pretty special.
Dave, in Super Bowl 46, Eli Manning, 30 of 40, 296 yards, a touchdown, no interception, and oh, by the way, that throw to Mario Manning.
Yeah, maybe the
on the game-winning drive.
Seen.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a dime. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Nice. Do you think it's a disservice if Don doesn't make that his list today?
Yeah.
Like it has to
it's
be?
It's a dereliction of duty. I mean, listen, you got to trust the speakers. And I mean, that's at that point, that's got to be coming out of there. 2:45, I'm dialed in to listen to this list. You know what my favorite part about the game last night, too, was? Because I could imagine I'd be the same way, was the hug that Steve Nash put on Kevin Durant.
Oh,
like, oh, thank God you're on
that
my
was
team.
Like a thank you. I love you.
Yes.
Thank you. Right?
Thank you.
You're my savior. Let's go to Steve in the car. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Hi, guys. I think you're great. I can't really hear you, but I think you're the baseball one. Either Don Larson or Reggie Jackson's 3 home runs.
Yep. You're right. That's right. Perfect game in the World Series. 100% right.
Can you imagine
Jackson,
that a perfect game
runs.
In the World Series?
No. No, I can't imagine that.
That's insane. I'll tell you what, though.
What are you taking out, then?
Yeah, that you sound like Don. What are you taking out? You know
no,
what
but really.
Too?
Because you have to have you have to have Larson. Yeah, I think you have to have Reggie. You have to have Messier.
I think you got to have
Durant.
Don't you have to have Clyde?
And Clyde. Guys, you know I love Eli, and I love the Giants more than anything on earth. But I don't think I'm putting Eli on the list.
Wow. That's...
No, but that was in the Super Bowl, though, Dave.
That's what I'm saying. That's the biggest moment.
But Clyde was Game 7.
Messier was on.
Messier was if they lose that game, they're done, and 54 years becomes God knows how long. Larson was in the World Series.
I think he's got to be on.
Reggie's in the World Series. So do you not put Durant on it, then?
I mean, that's why it's a tough list. That's why it's Don's list. You're going to have to figure it out. I mean, what if Matt Harvey goes out in the ninth inning and strikes out the side in that World Series?
Do they come back and win it from down 3-1, though?
No. What do you mean? Oh, they come back and win the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, no.
So if they come back and win it, then yes. But if they lose in Game 6, I don't know that I put that on the list.
Yeah, but you said, it's just a single-game performance. I mean, he's not pitching the next game. He goes out and pitches that way, a complete game. Come on.
I'm not saying he's not worthy of consideration, but I don't...
They still haunt me. I'm trying to pump him up a little bit after what happened last night again.
Yeah.
He's not trending in the right direction.
He is struggling. Greg in Piscataway. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I think that we're jumping the gun a little bit here. It's a second-round playoff performance. He put up 49 points. He had a great performance, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't an elimination game. And he has another Hall of Fame on the court. I mean, James Harden was hurt, but I think it's a little ridiculous.
Really? I mean, they lose that game. They were the prohibitive favorites. Most people didn't expect him to win. He gives you a performance for the ages. You don't think
it was essentially
years from
an elimination
now you remember
game.
That game?
Stop. I mean, that's essentially an elimination game.
It's a second round game.
Well, you
got to
get through
seven.
The second round to win a championship, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not game seven.
It might as well have been. You think they're going to, they lose last night. You think they're going into Milwaukee and winning game six?
And then coming back and winning game seven?
Okay, what if Harden comes back in game six and Kyrie's back in game seven?
What if? We don't know.
Yeah, but
I mean, you saw what James Harden looked like. I mean, that was not James Harden. I mean, that was in body, that was James Harden, but that wasn't, I mean, the player that we used to see in James Harden.
Yeah, that was 35% James Harden last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good leg last night. Guy made one bucket. Come on, stop.
Please. That's a bad take. Oh, there was just a, I mean, you were the huge favorites, to win this whole thing. You had a 2-0 lead where this series was on the verge of being over. Kyrie gets hurt. Harden can barely play. And he goes out there and plays every single minute, scores 49, 17, and 10. I'm sorry, that goes on one of my greatest New York moments ever.
I think it elevates to that legendary status, Dave, if the Brooklyn Nets win the championship. Like, if they don't, I think this will be a footnote when it comes to the greatest postseason performances, just because, I mean, we're always going to associate those performances leading to the team getting the ultimate prize. Like, I know that would be a little bit unfair, but that's just in our minds how we look at it as sports fans. Like, it's a great performance. We've never seen anything like this in NBA postseason history. But if the Nets don't win the chip, that won't be what we talk about, the game last night. It won't be.
What about, Dave, here's one. What about Doc, 1986, NLCS, Game 5?
Yeah, he was great in that, and they did win the series.
Pitched 10 innings in that game.
Yeah, no, he was great in that game. Yeah, listen, that didn't even jump off the plate to me, so I wouldn't put that there, but it was a great performance from Doc.
No, I mean, we got enough at this point where it's going to be tough to keep someone off the list.
It's a hard list, yeah.
That's a tough list.
It's a tough list.
But why are we trying? Why are we calling it to diminish what Kevin Durant did last night?
I don't know. It's a bad job. If you're calling in to diminish the greatness that he was last night, you could say, I don't think he's worthy of being on the list, but say, oh, it was just a game five in the second round of the postseason is a terrible way to attack this.
Well, you know who those people are, though, right, Dave? Those are Knicks fans that feel slighted by what Kevin Durant had to say about their team a couple of years ago when he decided to take Brooklyn over the Knicks. Like, that's what it was. So, I mean, they're always going to hate at every single turn or try to minimize what Kevin Durant accomplished. But, I mean, what he did last night, there's nothing that you can take away from his performance. I mean,
that was sensational.
It's a 50-point triple-double, Dave. I mean, you know, you don't see that every single day, let alone in the postseason in a game that Brooklyn absolutely had to win.
You've never seen it before.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.